Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hey guys, I'm Nadia.
And I'm Shabazz. We're just popping up with some essential news.
The brand new series of Doctor Who has begun.
And that means the official Doctor Who podcast is here.
Whether you're a Whovian or a Newvian, you are so welcome. This is the place where we dissect every episode, explain all the Easter eggs, and bring you some exclusive content too.
Plus, we'll have fabulous special guests and Doctor Who mega fans.
So come and find us. It's the official Doctor Who podcast.
Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello, I'm James Reynolds. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. And this time, we hear from beauty queens about why they enter contests, and we hear from those who judge them. In the United States recently, there has been plenty of commentary about the future of the pageant industry after two beauty queens quit. That debate has prompted us to take a step back to look around the world at the experience of contestants.
When I first entered, I actually had quite a lot of people at my work making fun of me and, you know, what is all this kind of Barbie doll stuff, a cry for attention, all these kind of things. There is such a negative stereotype with it. They don't really realise what beauty pageants are.
The sudden resignations of Miss USA and Miss Teen USA have put the spotlight on a global multi-million dollar business. Many have been having their say online about the future of the shows in the United States. Around the world, meanwhile, beauty pageants are increasing in popularity in some places, whilst in others they have struggled to maintain relevance. And it's interesting, isn't it, to see the differing levels of interest around the world. I remember when I reported from Colombia many years ago, the beauty queen contests took over the entire country. You could just jump into a cab and the first thing the cab driver would ask you about was which was your favourite contestant. Whereas in my own home country, in the UK, beauty contests have somewhat receded from the mainstream, although some on the inside believe that those contests in different countries are now experiencing a revamp and a revival. So to get a better idea of what it's like to be a contestant, what it's like to stand up and be judged, we brought together three competition winners. Miss Universe Germany, Helen Bleicher, Miss Universe Nigeria, Michelle Ihezue, and Miss Universe Finland, Paula Jukkonen. They all won their titles in 2023. I began by asking Paula, a law student, what motivated her to get involved.
I was into modeling for quite a few years before pageantry, but I unfortunately fell ill with an eating disorder because in modeling, basically the size of the model is very important and it's quite strict, as in what size you need to be. And so I kind of wanted to find something similar, but without the pressure of a weight or a size limit. And so I decided to pursue pageantry, as well as obviously pageantry being wonderful opportunity to receive a platform, to inspire, to get your voice out and, break stereotypes.
What are those stereotypes?
Usually when you think of a lawyer, you think of a man. You don't think of a beauty queen, right?
Let's cross to Helena, Miss Universe Germany 2023. How did you get into the idea of pageant?
I also used to do modeling just like Paula, and I love like walking, I love doing photo shoots, but I always felt like I have so much more to say. Like my character is also there and they're just looking at my looks basically. Also, the team I was working with, they were like, why don't you do pageantry? You talk a lot. Like I feel like you could do this very well, and basically encouraged me. And then I started and it was way more successful than my modeling career. So that's why I kept on going.
The talking, did you well? Was that a useful skill?
Yes, I would say that's my strength. I would say my interview has always been better than my walking, for example.
Right. Mitchell, let's join you. Miss Universe Nigeria 2023. Was beauty pageants always on your mind right from a young age?
No, it wasn't. I used to be a tomboy, actually. I didn't have any interest in things that were girly or any sort of thing. But then I got into modeling in school, in university, and just like the other miss had said, there's a lot of pressure in the modeling industry about looking a certain way and maintaining a certain weight and body size and all of that. So I wanted to branch out and do something that I felt would have more impact on myself and also people around me. So not just being pretty and all of that, but also having a voice. I looked around me at that time, and with the level I was in my life, I felt pageantry had the platform that I needed to do what I enjoy doing and at the same time have a voice and make an impact in not just my life, but in the life of people around me and in society.
You've all mentioned that idea of having a voice. So Paola, Miss Universe Finland, I wonder how you deal with what some passing observers might say, which is, well, they weren't chosen for their voice. They were simply chosen because of how they looked. How do you respond if people say that?
Especially in Finland nowadays, it is actually not called a beauty pageant anymore. So the word beauty is not even in it. Because if you were to just pick the most beautiful one, you may not have the best chosen one on the stage at Miss Universe. So a very, very, very huge, I would say even a bigger part of a pageant queen nowadays, especially in Finland, is the personality. And I know for myself, I was known in my national competition as the goofy one, the one that, you know, wasn't always the classy queen as stereotypically beauty queens are. As well as obviously I was doing, for a few years, I was doing charity work. I live in Europe, close to the Russian border, so I was teaching Ukrainians and having a Russian background myself. I would say I was a leader in showing example to the other many thousands of Russian and other immigrants in Finland as to kind of ignore the politics, and we're all human and being nice to each other is way more important.
Polly, you said the word beauty is not in the competition. So which word has replaced it?
I don't really know how to translate the word that we use in Finnish, but it's basically more about how you are able to kind of bring yourself out to whoever is watching you. So, you know, however you talk, however you walk, it has way more skills than just looking pretty, because that only takes you so far.
If you look at the contestants, we have women that are engineers, like women from all walks of life.
I'm trying my best on like social media, especially TikTok, to basically show them that it's so much more than just a bikini and an evening gown on a stage. And I try to talk about like all the charity causes we do together, either as sisters or just everyone, each on their own. 60% of what counts is interview, and then the rest is like behavior, and then there's looks and walk. But the most important feature is interview. So what you have to say, what's on your mind. If you look at this year's top 20, we had a plus size girl in there. We had, I think, only one blonde girl in there. And I feel like that's usually what people think. They think, oh, beauty pageant, tall, skinny, blonde girls. But in the end, there was only one blonde, and she was dark blonde.
Paola, you'll know more than I do that if people think of the interview part, that there is a stereotype that you're asked a question about what would you do, and beauty queens would answer, well, I want world peace or education or incredibly noble things, but things which have become in themselves a bit of a stereotype in answers. Do ever people ever mention that to you? Does that frustrate you?
Yeah, we do get quite a bit of laughs about that. But to be honest, I believe in just being nice to everyone, because if I'm nice to someone, I smile to someone today on the street, they get a good mood. And they will want to share that to the next person and the next person. And I feel like we don't really understand how powerful we are as single individuals, that we may actually, you know, have the power to get to a point of world peace. As ridiculous as that may sound, as much as there are wars in the world, I also like to think that I do my part in showing the victims of war that, you know, not all of us are bad, and that there is indeed plenty of good people on this earth.
In interviews, I haven't heard that question as much, but yeah, I do have it from like friends who are like, oh, so you're just gonna say world peace?
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever had a question in an actual pageant interview. As Paola said, I'm sure we all wish for world peace, but I feel like the questions usually are not as broad. They're more specific, so the stereotype is wrong. But I do understand it from like the movies, like Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality, I know. How okay?
I love that movie.
Honest question: how many times have you seen it?
I actually watch it every single time before I enter Pageant. It's like my routine, but I love it. I think it's so sweet.
And Paola.
Honestly, zero times.
Really?
Yes. I don't know. Just hasn't really interested me.
Mitchell, do you ever watch it?
Yes, more times than I'm willing to admit.
Beauty Queens Michelle Ihezue from Nigeria, Paolo Jukkonen from Finland, and Helen Bleicher from Germany. I'm James Reynolds. You're listening to BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
Press freedom. The reasons why it's under increasing pressure.
How the mass use of drones has changed the way the war is being fought.
The trends behind the fast-changing media landscape.
The Explanation from the BBC World Service takes a deep dive into the big stories affecting our lives, giving you an honest, unvarnished explanation of the world. Search for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Our guests were saying just then how they found pageants to be less strict than modelling, particularly when it comes to appearance, weight, size. For our next conversation then, we wanted to get a perspective from those who judge the competition. So we can hear from three people behind the scenes. Dr. Yonas Apostol is a cosmetic dentist who's been a judge on Miss Universe Egypt and Miss Universe Pakistan. Lashan Segal is a Bollywood actor who'll be a pageant judge for the first time in June. And Josh Eugen is a former judge from the Philippines who now lives in Dubai. He owns four Miss Universe franchises: Bahrain, Egypt, Pakistan, New Zealand. Josh began by explaining how he protects his contestants.
I actually, of course, read what happened to USA. It's actually sad. But for us in the Middle East, it's very exciting because, you know, we're just starting. Beauty pageants are not so famous in Europe. But in the Philippines, in Latin America, Venezuela, Colombia, Peru, in the US, it's so crazy. Like, even in Thailand, Indonesia, in the Philippines, people love pageants. Like, I was born and raised in the Philippines. It's part of our culture. Even male pageants are actually part of the culture, but we are more into women. But in the Gulf, it's very exciting because we just started. And how do I take care of my girls? Well, I actually follow whatever they want, of course, with my guidance. Like, for example, in Bahrain, we are the first one in the globe to actually introduce burkinis. It's a swimmer that Muslim women use when they're actually swimming. So Miss Universe, like other pageants, have a swimmer competition. And for 70 years, they're all parading in bikini. And there's nothing wrong with it. But of course, the Muslim community have a different culture, have different beliefs, and they're actually more comfortable in wearing burkini. And I was the first one to actually introduce that in the international platform of Miss Universe 4 years ago. And last year, the reigning Miss Universe Bahrain, Lujain Yaqub, she paraded in burkini on the international stage of Miss Universe. For the national competition, we actually had burkini for all the women. They have their own changing room. Yeah. But
can men go in the changing
room? Competition,
my apologies.
Of course not.
They can't, no.
I live in Dubai for 17 years. We know how to respect women. And we know how to respect boundaries. I'm also part of the LGBTQ community, so I feel like they're more trusting. Still, we don't go to their boundaries.
Josh, you're one of the organizers. We've got on the line a couple of men who've been judges, and I want to bring you both in. Dr. Jonas, you're a cosmetic dentist. When you're a judge, what is what you're looking for?
Number one, it is important for me to gauge the intellect of the women. Number two, it should be from inside out. I need to check how they use their confidence, how they present themselves, which is very important, and also the confidence on smiling.
And Ishan, you're an actor. You've also taken up this position as a judge. What is that position like?
For me, I'm looking for beautiful ladies who are very confident. And for me, the most important thing is how passionate you are to, you know, get the hold of this title of the Miss Universe. If you're passionate, you're welcome. If you're not passionate, you can go home. For me, it's like that.
Ishan, we are looking at this in the wake of some of the controversies in the United States about a couple of the winners of pageants stepping down because of complications or concerns about how they were treated and how it made them feel. Is that on your mind when you're a judge to make sure that everyone's experienced, that they're treated properly?
Definitely, yes. I would definitely want each one of them to be very confident, be in a very safe and a happy place, because, you know, it's not always professionalism. And Josh treats his girls like family. I've known Josh for a couple of years now, and I have been seeing him how gratefully he's with the girls and he's taking care of them. So when we are judging, it's emotions also, you know, everything matters. So it's a balance of everything. You got to be passionate, very good looking. You got to be confident. You should have that smile on your face. You should know how to answer. It's not one single thing, because it's Miss Universe title. It's not some random title we are looking at here.
I want to cross back to Josh, the pageant organizer. In previous years, there was among some contestants the desire to be as thin as possible. We know that the desire to be thin can go too far, and with that can come health problems and can come eating disorders. How do you make sure that the contestants who signed up in your pageants are eating healthily and are not underweight?
Well, this is the reason why I actually accepted the position of being a national director 4 years ago, because I actually love it that they are accepting women of all shapes, of all ages. There's no age limit. You can actually be a mother, a divorcee, you have kids. It doesn't matter. Beauty is skin deep. So for us, it's never an issue. And actually, with my winners, they have interviewed and I brought them to the Philippines for training for a month. And they have always been telling the media that I always feed them. Because for me, it doesn't matter if you're slim or if you have a different shape, because it is not the purpose of the crown. The purpose of the crown is more of the advocacy that they do have.
Pageant franchise owner Josh Eugen and judges Dr. Jonas Apostol and Lashan Segar. We next spoke to two beauty queens from different generations. There's almost 30 years age difference between them for a very, very simple reason. They are mother and daughter. So let me introduce you to 62-year-old Laurie Meshack from Scotland and her youngest child, Amy. Amy won Miss Great Britain in 2022.
I was actually sitting at university at the open day and they were doing an introduction and the head of year was speaking to maybe 300 of us in this lecture hall. And he said, there's been a girl that has done TV presenting here and she's gone on to do really well because she won a beauty pageant. And that really catapulted her career. And for me, it was a little light bulb moment. And I just thought, maybe I should enter a beauty pageant because I wanted to do TV presentings. And that's kind of where I got started. I was only 19 at the time. And from there, I decided to enter a pageant and I just got the bug and I got really addicted.
And you needed a chief assistant, a coach, a supporter. That's where we bring in your mum.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's a woman of many talents. So my mum was always there, my biggest cheerleader, an absolute personal assistant.
Laurie, is that the title you gave yourself?
I think I would actually call it more a gopher than a personal assistant, but yeah, kind of along that vein.
Laurie, when Amy said, look, I'm going to do this beauty pageant thing and, you know, I want you to be part of that, what was your reaction?
Actually, I was quite excited because I'm a hairstylist and I thought, oh, I'll get to go with her. And it kind of morphed from here into making her clothes and stitching her into dresses and unpicking her back out of dresses. But it was always great fun just to turn up and be a part of everything.
You both will know that some of those stereotypes are not very fun, I would imagine, for either of you. How did you deal with that?
When I first entered, I actually had quite a lot of people at my work making fun of me. And, you know, a lot of people were like, I really hope she doesn't win. And, you know, what is all this kind of Barbie doll stuff? And, you know, is it a cry for attention? All these kind of things. But I think there is such a negative stereotype with it. They don't really realise what beauty pageants are. And of course, they've evolved over time. But originally, they did start out as a swimwear contest. So I totally get that people could get the wrong end of the stick with it. But actually, it's really the tip of the iceberg when you see the show. It's so much more than just a beauty pageant or a sparkly crown or a glittery gown. And there's a lot to do with charity work. Some of the pageants I've done have raised millions for charity. So it's all about giving back to the community, being a spokesperson, getting involved in local projects as well. And, do you know, growing your confidence. My theory was, if I enter, this will help me deal with, you know, on stage nerves. Maybe I'll learn how to market myself. Maybe I'll make some friends. And it taught me loads of life skills as well. It's skills that I've used in interviews and it's linked me up with other women who are in leadership roles and I've made loads of friends through it. So it's really been so much more than just the crown.
What did your dad say at first when you said, this is what I'm going to do?
You know, you get the kind of raised eyebrow the way that everybody first does when they hear it. And I don't think he really understood it. And then when I did my first pageant, after he realised how much joy it brought me and all the girls that I'd met and how intelligent these women were. I was meeting people that were doctors, some worked with rockets, some worked, you know, race car drivers, people from all walks of life. It wasn't just, you know, girls that are, I want to do my hair and makeup and get up on a stage. It was so much more than that. And of course, supported me massively when I was competing in my last pageant there.
Laurie, you're in the audience. So you've been watching then during this process, Amy, your daughter, do well as Miss GB.
Absolutely.
You were the chief assistant, the chief sewer, the chief hairstylist, the gopher. But Laurie, this wasn't enough for you.
What happened was Amy had said, Mum, they do a Mrs. competition. And she said, I think you should go in for it. And I said, I don't know at my age. I can't see myself tottering about in a bathing suit and a pair of high heels that I can't walk in. However, she actually filled a form out, an entry form for me, and it was accepted.
What was the name of the competition?
This was called Galaxy. So she entered me for this competition, which I eventually said, right, okay, I'll do it. So we had to go through the rigmarole of me learning to walk in high heels and do all the things that you have to do in pageants. And I managed to come first runner-up in my very first pageant.
Not bad.
At 55.
It was something that I just took upon myself because I knew how much joy it brought me. And when Mum was coming down with me to pageants, she was getting really close with all the mums, and all the other mums were really rooting for her because they didn't have the confidence to do it. So I thought, if I can't convince her myself, I'm just going to fill this out and see how it goes and see how she feels once it's accepted. But it obviously worked.
And Laurie, in the contest that you were in, the Mrs. MRS contest, what were the things that you had and your fellow competitors had to do on stage, and how do they differ from what Amy would have done with her fellow contestants?
Well, it's actually exactly the same, to be honest, James. Although the older women and the Mrs. category, quite a lot of the women tend to wear bathing suits rather than bikinis. But we all still had to do the charity work, which is something Amy and I have done for many years, even out with pageantry. So we had a bonus there because we knew exactly what we were doing. So we would raise the money for charity. We would go to events. We had a lot of preparation to do prior to the actual show with outfits, because you needed an opening number round. So you needed a dress for that. You needed your bathing suit or your swimwear for your swimwear round. And then the evening gown at the end, which was absolutely brilliant. That was my favourite one.
You're in the UK, and of course, I'm in the UK as well. Stopping random people on the street and saying beauty pageants, they might think, oh, wasn't that like in the 1970s on mainstream TV? And then it just sort of faded in the UK and has been seen as something that's not really part of the mainstream of British life anymore. Is that how you both see it?
Well, I think it's really grown over the past maybe 15 years or so. Years and years ago, it's not something that you would ever hear anyone in Scotland speaking about. But even Amy and I, we've mainly competed down south. I think because there are more girls from Scotland taking part, it's beginning to be a bit more known.
And just to add to that as well, sorry, Mum, it's an unusual hobby to have. So you do get some funny looks and things, but it's funny how people cannot understand what pageants are. But then when you win a title like that, where everybody has heard of Miss Great Britain, you know, even grands and grandpas know what Miss Great Britain is, they actually tend to have a different take on it. But also when they see what's underneath and the work that goes into it, they do tend to have a different take.
It's such an experience that you could never forget because it's such fun.
And I think the burnout is worth it because after a show, you do feel burnt out, you feel tired. Mentally, you feel a bit exhausted, but you are coming off a high and you know it was all worth it. It's a journey of self-discovery when you're competing in something like this. And it's all about self-improvement and even having a goal in terms of getting fit. So I'm always in the gym, not trying to slim down, but just trying to be the best version of me that I can be. And that's why I think it's such a positive thing to be a part of.
Mother and daughter Amy and Laurie Mishak on the empowerment, joy and confidence that beauty contests have brought to their lives. I'm James Reynolds, and you've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hi.
press freedom, the reasons why it's under increasing pressure,
how the mass use of drones has changed the way the war is being fought,
the trends behind the fast-changing media landscape.
The Explanation from the BBC World Service takes a deep dive into the big stories affecting our lives, giving you an honest, unvarnished explanation of the world. Search for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.